Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, a claim by the Trump campaign, its emails were hacked. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi.
They didn't offer any specific evidence tying it directly to Iran, but they did point to this Microsoft report. It detailed attempts of Iran to influence the presidential campaign.
No comment from Iran. Kamala Harris campaign reports more than $12 million raised at an event in San Francisco. The U.S. is sending more military support to the Middle East as tensions rise between Iran and Israel. CBS's Eleanor Watson.
USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier with its sophisticated F-35 jets will accelerate its transit to the Middle East, and that the guided missile submarine USS Georgia will also head that way.
A claim of proof, Jordan Chiles deserves Olympic bronze, awarded on NBC.
So much fun to watch her.
USA Gymnastics says it has video evidence showing her coach submitting an inquiry into her score within the allotted one-minute time frame. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
5:40 a.m. WAUK News is brought to you by the new Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 in Waukesha.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tomorrow is primary election day in Wisconsin. One of the races to watch is the Republican primary in the 8th Congressional District, where Donald Trump is endorsing Tony Weed.
This race is all about how important is the Trump endorsement in a primary in Wisconsin, especially in the Green Bay area.
WIS Politics editor J.R. Ross says Roger Roth and his supporters can afford a lot of TV ads while Andre Jacques is busy campaigning door to door.
What wins out? Air power, the Trump endorsement, or this kind of credibility that Andre Jacques has?
Ross speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. Wisconsin wildlife officials expect more deer in the woods this fall. The Department of Natural Resources released its annual deer forecast last week. Mild weather last winter helped more fawns survive the cold weather months. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. There's no longer a cost to just being born in Milwaukee. County Executive David Crawley has announced the elimination of what's called the birth tax, a policy that required unwed fathers to repay Medicaid for childbirth costs. The move is said to remove nearly $70 million in medical debt actions. It aims to address racial disparities and promote equity. One of the area races to watch tomorrow is the 24th Assembly District primary. Janelle Branchen and Dan Knodel are vying for the Republican nomination. Branchen, who has faced controversy over campaign finance allegations, is seeking to retain her seat in a predominantly Republican district. Knodel opting to run for the Assembly instead of the state Senate aims to leverage his legislative experience in the election. To see what's on your ballot and to find out where you can vote tomorrow, check out myvote.wi.gov. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The Packers get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers back home after a 23-10 win over the Browns in Cleveland. Jordan Love threw a 65-yard touchdown and was done for the day. The offense focused on the run game. Backup quarterback Sean Clifford was 10 of 19 for 111 yards, a quarterback rating of just 70.3.
Yeah, I think that take the good, take the bad, and you look at everything, and you never get too high, and you never get too low, especially at this position.
Head coach Matt LaFleur.
I thought just his command, his presence, the communication, the urgency in and out of the huddle, I thought was pretty clean.
Baseball, the Brewers and Dodgers open a four-game series tonight at AmFam Field. Clayton Kershaw on the mound for L.A. against the Brewers' Freddie Peralta.
You know, we as a team, we're fine. We're good. And it is what it is, man. We just have to move forward, clean our mind, and get ready for tomorrow and win the series.
The Crew losing to the Reds yesterday 4-3. The Cubs have improved. They've won 8 of their last 10 games. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today with a high near 80 degrees. Clear skies tonight, low 60s. Sunshine 79 for Tuesday. Tuesday night, mostly clear. Lows around 66. Mostly sunny, upper 70s for Wednesday. Mid 70s and stormy on your Thursday.
Right now, it's 58. in a hurry, pop in at Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 gas station in Waukesha, where you'll find gas, coffee, soda, snacks, and even alcohol, and serving food from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy a breakfast burrito or biscuit sandwich. How about a delicious Hunt Brothers pizza or juicy Cooper's Express fried chicken? Chicken sandwich with pepper gravy, wings, tenders, fish, or shrimp with all your favorite sides. Stop in or order ahead at 262-933-4747. Hop and Shop in Waukesha.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Brandi Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, why does Donald Trump love tariffs? And what would another Trump trade war with China do to Wisconsin farmers if he were to win again?
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Good morning and welcome to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
All right, man. Time is just flying, man.
I know. Just next week and the DNC will be upon us.
Man, you just took the words out of my mouth, man. And so Civic Media is going to be front and center at the Democratic Convention. I'll be there, you know, Monday through Thursday. And I guess just about all of us are going to be there with Civic Media doing shows from the Democratic Convention. And really going to be excited about it, man. You know, Chicago, you know, I always tell man, Chicago is a little New York. And, you know, when you go to Chicago, especially downtown, it's like being in a different nation, man. You spend any time in Chicago?
I have to admit, I've only ever driven through it.
Man, it is unbelievable. It's third largest city in the nation. And it's absolutely beautiful downtown, and that's where most of the activities are going to be taking place. But anyway, it's a Motown Monday. Got a lot lined up for you this morning. I got a guest coming in at around 8:30. He is Orlando Owens. He is the Southeast Wisconsin Regional Director of the Joseph Project. And so we're going to talk with him about that. But more than anything else, the reason I wanted to have him on is if I told you how many times I've been asked about whether or not blacks are starting to swing over to the Republican Party, I would be a wealthy man. So Orlando Owens is one of those people who is a black person, who is a Republican, and who supports Donald Trump and the Republican Party. So we're going to have him on. We're going to have a no-holds-barred conversation, you know, at around 8:30. And so I will tell you, long overdue. But, you know, I've known Orlando Owens for, I don't know, 15 years or so. He's a much younger guy than I am. He's probably 20 years younger than I am. And so, you know, people see things through a different prism. But we're going to have a great conversation in the 8:30 time slot. Calvin, I wanted to talk about, man, I still get to this point, man. I just can't get away from what is it? Social media. social media and the fact that so many people, man, still get all of their news and so much of their news from social media. And I don't know, man, you know, I don't know how people can run the risk of listening to and accepting all the stuff that, you know, that they get from social media, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely concerning. I interact with people on the internet every day that it's evident that that's where they're getting their news, and it's frustrating. Part of it is convenience that they just like to use social media, and part of it is politicians like Donald Trump have implanted this seed of the media's lying to you. So now they just go to social media personalities that say the same thing that they agree with.
So tell me about these influencers, what they call influencers. And those are people who apparently, for no other reason, are popular. And so people are willing to put a lot of faith and trust in somebody who's called an influencer. What is an influencer, and what makes them so, you know, supported?
I mean, I would say there's degrees of influencers. There's like influencers who just care about like clothes and kind of thing. And then you could also say that celebrities and that kind of thing are influencers. But there's also this kind of niche, like internet personality, where they do like podcasts and share their opinion and like that kind of thing. And I think that's where it gets dangerous, because a lot of them aren't any more informed than the regular person, but people take what they say just because they have a platform. They take it for what it's, they take it for true, even though it's oftentimes not.
You know, that's the part of it. You know, Changing America is this article I was reading, and you can find it in the Huffington Post. Younger Americans get financial advice from social media and other places and on these outlets and these spots. And I don't know, man, you know, some things maybe I can understand, but we're talking about aspects of their lives that, you know, many of us who are older had to learn through experience. And, you know, you could certainly get knowledge from reading books, which is what happened during my time, because we didn't have social media. So you had to garner that information from reading books and life experience. You know, I remember when I was a young guy, an older guy, gentleman told me, he said, everything you want to know about life is in a book. So I don't care what it is, it's in a book. And so that's why libraries were so critically important during the development stages of our nation and the growing and life experience that many from my generation garnered. It wasn't somebody who we knew nothing about. There were the authors and people with wisdom, where we were able to read about all of the things that we needed to know. Now there are people who are on these sites who know how to make money, and they're like fishermen, and they put bait on their hook and they cast it out there. Nobody really knows anything about what knowledge these people have, but they've realized this is a way that they can make money, and that people, you know, the sheep. And so especially, I hate to say it, but younger people who really at a time when they need to be experiencing life for themselves, to allow some person who's called an influencer, and nobody knows anything about the background of the influencers. And yet those are the people who garner and, you know, more attention than the people who have real knowledge. Now, long term, that can't be a good thing for our society. Because again, if you're just going to go by somebody who's popular, well, what are they popular? Well, they're good looking. Right, Calvin?
Yeah, and I mean, you definitely can find, it takes more work on the listener's end. You can find people who are sharing good information, and there's ways, like, you should look for people who share where they get their information, who cite their sources, and that kind of thing. That's usually a good sign that they're trustworthy. But if they're just spewing information with no backup for it, that's a sign that they're probably misinformed or lying.
Well, you know, it's, as you stated, I'm looking at one of the text messages, and this guy said he got his information from the encyclopedias. And yeah, that's the point. There were, and this is at the same time that people are looking to get rid of books. How that can be a positive harbinger for the future of our nation, I'll never understand. But it really is. It's amazing to me, and it's not getting any better. It's getting worse because you don't know who these people are. And they've realized that they can, some people are getting wealthy from doing this, right?
Yeah, certainly. There's definitely a whole subculture of internet personalities that make a lot of money.
Well, you know, there's this guy named, what is he? He's a boxer, kind of.
Oh, Jake Paul.
Jake Paul, right? I mean, not a real boxer, but he's an influencer. He's gotten wealthy.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, he started off as a 16-year-old kid making videos for 10-year-olds, and now he's morphed into what he is.
Yeah, a multi, an influencer. And so people are following a guy that, you know, I mean, let's be honest, man. He's a smart guy, or he wouldn't have been able to accomplish what he's accomplished. But if you back up and find out exactly who and what he is, to be able to garner the attention of so many millions. What, he's got about 17, 18 million people who follow him.
I'm sure, something like that.
Yeah. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Don't punish me for brutality. Come on, talk to me. Can't see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Ooh. Right on. Right on.
The Shaw, WAUK.
I'm State Representative Lakeisha Myers. I may be small in stature, but I'm big on getting things done. And that's why I'm running for the full four-year term for the 4th Senate District on August 13th. From introducing a bill to combat reckless driving to helping address issues in the Milwaukee public school system, I do the work. Successfully passing a number of bills in my 3 terms in office, I have been a strong voice in the state capitol for the people in my district. I'm not afraid to fight for what we need, and I won't stop until I get it done. To learn more about my record, please visit www.myersforsenate.com or 414-436-8910. Get on up and vote for Lakeisha Myers on August 13th for State Senate District 4.
Your vote is important in this upcoming primary. Find out where your polling place is. Go to myvote.wi.gov and find your polling place for this upcoming election. That's myvote.wi.gov.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, cause you mean that much to me. Ain't too proud to beg,
as you know.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So I'm talking about the so-called influencers and where people unfortunately gather a lot of their information and the inherent dangers of that. Yeah, the internet's a nice place to go to, you know. I mean, I spend some time there, but I take it with a grain of salt, you know. But, you know, I'm a 70-year-old man, and so that's a lot different than somebody 16, 15, 18, 20 years old who think that what they are reading and hearing is you know, based on, you know, somebody with life experience. Let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, I'll tell you what. The state of our media today is so atrocious. And I'm talking about the Washington Press. If they want to, like, start to actually bring media back, they would ask the who, what, when, why, where questions. They wouldn't give Donald Trump an hour to on a fake press conference where they don't have microphones, but yet he does and answers whatever he wants to answer. I don't know if you saw Lawrence O'Donnell's segment on this, but Lawrence O'Donnell's even saying, this is ridiculous. They ask Joe Biden every question under the sun. They'll probably do the same thing with Kamala Harris. But I don't care if these people on social media are actually, if they're actually talking about policy, which obviously our regular media does not do anymore. They just talk about gotcha journalism so they get more clicks. So really and truly, our regular journalism has become almost worse than some of the stuff you see on social media. Because social media at least is talking about policy in some ways. Our regular journalism is just always trying to do the gotcha question. And it's really, really a sad state of affairs. And it's all about money and politics.
So Tom, let me say this to you. I'm one who doesn't, you know, the gotcha question, you know, I'm an unbeliever in that because there's no question somebody can ask me that I can't answer without feeling like it's a gotcha. If you're in the political environment, there should be no question that you shouldn't be able to answer without feeling that somebody got you based on your beliefs and, you know, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. I don't believe in that gotcha, you know, question. You should be prepared to deal with almost any question, especially if you're somebody running for major office.
Okay, Earl, but as an example, we need to have fact-checking in real time. When you can have someone that continues to lie.
I don't disagree with that Donald Trump thing, man. There's no question. I'm talking about a gotcha question. I don't believe that there is such a thing. You know, it got you meaning that you can't defend your thoughts and what you believe.
when I talk about gotcha question, I'm saying things that have already been lies that have been put out there. And the media goes and repeats those lies by being basically a teleprompter for the person that's lied more than anybody else in the whole world. And you just look, like yesterday, I saw something on CNN. Dana Bash was interviewing J.D. Weirdo, as I call him, and she asked him a question, and he answers this whole thing about how Kamala Harris is a chameleon and this and that and blah, blah, blah. No pushback on the facts.
So Tom, thank you very much for the call. I'm going to get into all of that in, you know, the next segment. Let's go to Jim from Eden. Good morning to you, Jim. You say what?
Yes. Good morning, Earl. Yes. As I'm listening to your conversation, the first thing I think about is the First Amendment, you know, that says freedom of speech. It seems like that's what you're talking about here. You know, when you're out on the street and you're just having a conversation, you know, everybody talks about how they feel about things. You know, they don't say, well, this is my documentation. You know, this is why I feel this way. You know, you don't give your documentation, you know, every day on why you're feeling the way you're feeling. You know, and the callers aren't giving documentation. It's freedom of speech. That's what we enjoy in this country.
So let me say this. Absolutely, it's freedom of speech. I'm questioning the fact that there are people who follow people like sheep. And just because a person has freedom of speech, if somebody doesn't understand well enough that the person who's saying or doing whatever it is they're saying or doing is not to support or make things better, but to enrich themselves, that's a problem down the road, right? I'm not saying people don't have a right to say the things that they say. I'm talking about the people who blindly follow people based on the fact that they are, just this influencer.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that what an influencer is? They're just sharing what they believe. I mean,
yeah.
And
well,
people can decide whether I want to listen to them or not.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just like the fact that it's legal to teach people how to make bombs. When we talk about freedom of speech, just because there's freedom of speech doesn't mean that there's always going to be good speech and good freedoms. You know, young boys are stealing cars all over this nation and dying in cars and killing up people because they can go on the internet, freedom of speech, and learn how to steal cars. Is that a good thing?
It's still legal to have speech in this country.
Yeah, but I'm saying, okay, so, you know, it may be legal, but is it good?
Well, but it's still the Constitution. It's still, so it must be good.
Everything in the Constitution is not good, okay? You know, from my perspective. And it hasn't always been good, everything that's been in the Constitution. You would agree to that, wouldn't you?
We're in the best country in the world. Wouldn't you agree to that?
In some instances, sir. It depends on who you are. You know, there's some things going on in this nation that aren't good, as there are in other nations. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest has arrived, Mr. Orlando Owens, Southeast Wisconsin Regional Director of the Joseph Project. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Communities appear to be slow to apply for money to fix up rural roads. The Wisconsin Agricultural Road Improvement Program aims to fix roads damaged by heavy agricultural and logging traffic. The program has given out $50 million this year, and the deadline to apply for the next round of $100 million is the end of September. There are new standards for meat to carry the USDA certified organic label, but farmers have until the end of 2028 to comply. Seth Milstein is a reporter for Sentient Media.
There were various procedures that were just flat out banned in the new standards. Tail docking of cows and gestation crates and farrowing cages for pigs or toe clipping chickens.
Milstein points out the standards affect only farmers who volunteer to have their products certified USDA organic. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The final suspect in Devontae Mitchell's death made his initial court appearance over the weekend. Herbert Williamson was charged with felony murder and given a $15,000 bond. Williamson, a bellhop, is accused of helping to restrain Mitchell at the hotel, an act prosecutors say contributed to his death. Williamson says he didn't do anything wrong. Three other hotel employees were in court last week. According to the latest forecast from the DNR, northern Wisconsin is expected to see a healthier deer herd this fall. The mild winter is credited with boosting fawn survival, leading to a likely increase in young deer in the region's forecast. And you can vote tomorrow. It's to narrow down races for Assembly, State Senate, and other local races. To see what's on your ballot and to find out where you can vote, check out myvote.wi.gov. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Bob Odenkirk and Bill Burr have been on their share of stages, but both will experience a first when they head to Broadway next spring. The actor-comedians will join Kieran Culkin on Broadway and Glengarry Glen Ross. If you haven't seen the 1992 film written by David Mamet based on his play of the same title, it's worth a watch. The story is set in a cutthroat Chicago real estate office. Burr will be in the Dave Moss role, played by Ed Harris in the film. Culkin will play Richard Roma, who is portrayed by Al Pacino, and Odenkirk takes the role of Shelley Levine, the character played by Jack Lemmon. That's one to see. If Taylor Sheridan has writer's cramp, he is great at hiding it. He's written yet another Yellowstone spinoff that's headed to the little screen. The show Madison will star Michelle Pfeiffer as the female lead. She will also executive produce. Madison follows a New York City family as they adjust to life in the West. Rumors are that Kurt Russell will also join the cast. Madison's previous title was 2024. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Weather brought to you by Mosquito Joe of Waukesha. For a SWAT-free summer, call 262-232-7570.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today with a high near 80 degrees. Clear skies tonight, low 60s. Sunshine 79 for Tuesday. Tuesday night, mostly clear. Lows around 66. Mostly sunny, upper 70s for Wednesday. Mid-70s and stormy on your Thursday.
Right now, it's 58.
What's bugging you?
A family picnic in our own backyard sounded like a great idea, but no.
They know what's bugging you, and Mosquito Joe's Mosquito and Tick Service can fix it. Call Mosquito Joe of Waukesha County. They'll give your yard an effective treatment that starts working immediately to eliminate those pests. Mosquito Joe, making outside fun again. Call Mosquito Joe today, 262-232-7570.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom will be back. Harrison Walls will be done with their cross-country swing state tour. And we'll talk about it on the Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is in the studio. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey so we can close this out and have at it. Thank you very much for the call, Brendan. You say what?
Well, I just wanted to say that we were yelling on the internet and things about Project 2025 well before the grand media even decided to pick it up, and they finally couldn't ignore it any longer. As far as the influencers go, there's an interesting influencer that Trump just had down at Mar-a-Lago there. A kid named Aiden, who's an online gamer who tends to sniff the seats of those guests that are on his show, and he actually does it right on the media. So is this really the direction that party's going in? Is that how desperate they've become? But yeah, the big media is owned by billionaires, and what do billionaires do? Well, billionaires vote for Republicans because that they save them lots of money, and then we carry the water for them. So, yeah, it was months before Project 2025 was even brought up, even on MSNBC, which is supposed to be the liberal news network. So that's all I really had to say.
All right, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. So, as promised, I'm joined by Mr. Orlando Owens. He is the Southeast Wisconsin Regional Director of the Joseph Project. Good morning to you, Orlando. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. Earl, sorry for being a little behind. We got out in town a little late.
Yeah, talk night. A little louder.
We got in town a little late last night, so I do apologize for that.
That's all right, man. Let's tell us a little bit about Orlando Owens.
Well, first, let me full disclaimer. I am here on my own time. I do have a job with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Been with him now for almost 10 years. I'm one of the co-founders of the Joseph Project. I am also the chairman of Milwaukee Northside GOP, and this is my third term there. Been in the Republican Party probably close to 17, 18 years now. Wauwatosa West High School grad, part of the Top 220 program back in the day. Hung out at Whitewater for about a good week and a half. I'm just kidding, about a good 2 years. But I finished my degree in Morris Brown, Historical Black College, Atlanta, Georgia, in business. Been working in corporate America for probably, 25 years. Got into Republican politics, and I'm a dad, and I've got two awesome sons. I'm 50 years old and got a 3-year-old son, and I'm a granddad of a 5-year-old baby, 5-month-old baby.
That might be more information than we really need to know. Anyway, it's good to have you in the studio, always man. You and I always go back. And at a different time with me at a different radio station. And one thing I know about you is you really do believe, what it is you stand for. You're not just some guy who believes in Republican politics because there's, something in it for you. You're a guy who really believes, in Republican politics.
And I will say the same about you. I think over the years you've shown that you are a believer. And
a believer in what?
In your side of the issues and how you view them. And I think you are genuine in that aspect. I don't think you do it for clicks or for job opportunities. You believe what you believe.
Yeah, the check would be in the mail.
Okay.
No problem. But anyway, listen, the reason I invited you in is because if I told you how many times I've been asked by people, are blacks really starting to buy into conservative politics and Donald Trump? And so I went down to an office that Republicans have right in the heart of Black Milwaukee on North Avenue and
MLK
and Martin Luther King Drive. And this office was put there 3 years ago, maybe.
Maybe even close to four. Now.
Maybe 4 years ago. And the fact that it was put right in the heart of the Black community. Tell me a reason why.
Well,
which many people thought at the time, and which at the time really kind of it had some damage to it a couple times.
A little vandalism, yeah.
Yeah, vandalism. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us why they put it there.
So it was a brain trust and an idea that, you know, Gerard Randall, who's the first vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, also the chairman of the African American Council for many years. And I was one of those also advocating for an actual office in the city of Milwaukee. And we located a donor who saw the vision and said, yeah, this is a good thing. And that donor pretty much covered the rents and all the expenses for those probably 3.5-4 years. Now it's a state party office. But the reason why is because we wanted to have a constant presence in the Black community, to be open, to take questions, and also quite transparently for a place that people see that there's a flag here, that we're going to be here, and we intend to engage.
Let me ask you, for decades, Republicans have said after every presidential election, we have made a mistake by not opening our tent to Blacks and Hispanics. And part of the reason why we keep losing is because we don't open the tents to Blacks and Hispanics. Every 4 years, or when they lose, that always comes up. What's different this time around?
Well, I've never been part of a campaign or, you know, debriefing of we don't, and you know, want a big tent. Since I've been in the party, you know, it's always been a big tent for me, and never had heard things like that. Now, can we do a better job? I think you always are trying to push the envelope, trying to get more of the votes, trying to put more of your platform out here and let people kind of compare and contrast that. So that's my experience. So if you have a different experience of what you heard, I can't speak to that, but I can tell you, since I've been around, it's always been open to people.
We're talking about Black people now. So yeah, when you say people, okay, go ahead.
Folk. So Black folk, foundational Blacks, whatever Black you want to call them, Hispanics as well too. So it's been a very open party, at least in my experience.
So, I mean, if you just look at the sheer numbers, that not a whole lot of Blacks that are engaged in the Republican Party, even in the city of Milwaukee as we speak now, after 4 years. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think a lot of people have our values and things we believe already ingrained. I think a lot of times people just don't join groups or organizations. I mean, it's not a, you know, people have to tend to be, and this is part of that conservative ideal too, that most people of color are also a part of. We don't do a lot of joining of groups. We're kind of free thinkers. So I don't need to be part of a group that, you know, cast my vote. But I would like to see more numbers. I'll definitely, that's part of my job and trying to grow our 10 and grow our membership. So I'm definitely, I would love to see a lot more.
So why do you think Blacks are more inclined to join the Democratic Party than the Republican Party?
I think really just comes down to more of the message getting out more. I think
what's the message?
So the idea of being, what is a conservative, right? Like, what does that really mean? What does it mean to be a Republican? I think sometimes you get caught up in labels and we just look at the value or the ideas behind each one of these parties. And once you do that, people are, you know, naturally just gravitate towards you. I remember when I ran for state rep here and I went to doors in right here where I live in the city of Milwaukee. And I went to doors and just had like maybe 4 questions I asked people really quickly. Do you have a problem with crime? Do you want better schools, jobs, and safety? And everybody's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they signed my nomination papers. But while they were signing those papers, I said, wait a minute, though. Let me be clear. I'm a Republican. And they would stop, and they would look. I said, wait a minute. Before I said that I was Republican, you agreed with everything I said. So the question is that I'm a Republican. The question is, are you really a Democrat? And they would look, and they say, that's a great point. And they finished signing my nomination papers.
Well, you know, if you would ask me that question, I would clearly state, you know, you talked about 4 things and 4 principles that we constantly hear the Republicans talking about. I don't care what year it is. It's those 4 things that Republicans constantly talk about: crime, education. What are the other 2?
Jobs. And that's where I stay, you know, and that's kind of where my wheelhouse is. And the issue of education is huge for us in the Black community. Jobs, safety, those things, that's kind of stay right there. Religious freedoms.
Okay, and so what is it about the Republican Party that drew you to it based on those 3 planks that you just mentioned?
So also, religious freedom was part of that as well.
Okay,
too. So when I first ran for office way back in the day, over 20 years ago, I ran for alderman, and I thought, like most blacks, I was a Democrat. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. And so I'm a recent grad from Morris Brown College at that point, and I go as far as joining the Democratic Party in Milwaukee and also Milwaukee County. Martha Turan was the chairman at that time and chairwoman at the time. And so I went to the meeting at Pettit Ice Rink. I don't think they'll do them there anymore. And I heard two things that really went against kind of my core. The first thing, being a recent college grad from Circle Black College, as a walk-on and also summa cum laude at the school, that we needed white people to help us. So one of the things the lady said, we got to help our black and brown men because the man is standing on their neck. And this was a white woman. I said, well, you white. So how in the world? So you think you the good white and the other folk are the bad white. All I see is white folk. And so that, from that point, that rubbed my intellect the wrong way because I just left Atlanta. So I saw black affluency. I saw what blacks could do without, you know, being held back, you know, unburdened. So I found that way. I saw it. So Milwaukee didn't have that big of an affluent black community, but it was still there. A.O. Smith community. So I saw some, but not like I saw in Atlanta. But also Atlanta had a huge, you know, poor area like Milwaukee. The other thing in that meeting that kind of struck me the wrong way was we got to stand up for our gay LGBTQ brothers and sisters. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't think anybody should be done wrong. But I also know what the Bible says. And so now you kind of stroking.
Come on, man. You're not going to bring the Bible into this.
So now you went against my intellect and my faith. I'm not saying I was a church kid all my life, but I've always been close to the church. So that idea went against the teachings that I know that were in the Word. So two things. Those are the two things. I said, you know, this doesn't feel right to me. And that's kind of started my journey in learning and hearing the other side.
So when you talk about the Bible and those types of things, you know, slavery was going on and the Bible was around.
Yep.
So when you start talking about, you know, interfering with your beliefs because somebody's LGBTQ and that interferes with the Bible, you can't bring that up because when we try to use the values and morals that are in the Bible, you have to understand that we live in a nation that enslaved people.
I would only respond
under that.
I would only respond that slavery was an international trade.
It's just
like you said in the Bible. So there's nothing new under the sun. So that didn't still devalue the core mission of Christ and the Word. That don't distract from.
Well, the only reason I brought it up is because you brought it up when it came to LGBTQ. Sure. You made that an issue, and you wanted to clearly state that it was an issue based, LGBTQ was an issue based on your Christian belief that you shouldn't be forced to accept. In essence, that's what you were saying.
I mean, my faith is non-negotiable. So, I mean, you asked the question of what are the things that kind of drove me to the Republican Party and the conservative movement? Those are those two things.
So we're going to get into all of those things. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. And I really want to get into this belief that's going around in this country that more and more blacks are starting to gravitate towards the Republican Party, which is absolutely not true. 844-967-2789 is the number. Mr. Orlando Owens is my guest on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Out of sight, because my heart is true. Since then, baby, everything is all right. Upside, clean out of sight. Baby, everything is all right. Upside, clean out of sight. Baby, everything is all right. Upside.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. Abortion is at stake in this election. On abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
And this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights while Eric Hovde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500, not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
All right, welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Orlando Owens, Southeast Wisconsin Regional Director of the Joseph Project. We're going to get into the Joseph Project and all that stuff. I give you an opportunity to talk about those things. But I just think that hearing Donald Trump say that he's done more for black people than any other president since Abraham Lincoln. Your thoughts on that statement?
I think each president will look at their signature piece of legislation and they have their, you know, opinion of what their impact was. So
what's his signature piece of legislation for black people?
I think he's listed a few different things that were very important.
Like what?
Well, I think the first step back was pretty huge, especially being Milwaukee, one of the highest incarcerated zip codes in the nation every year. I think the first step back was pretty big. I think the further supporting.
So the what?
First Step Act. That helped guys on the federal level get reduced sentencing. So the first step toward, you know, sentencing reform. I think the home place and the birthplace of school choice here in Milwaukee under Polly Williams and Gary George. And I think having that support also for school choice is also a big opportunity for African-Americans. I look at, you know, what he did, and this is the first term that he did, and there's still work to be done, but even the end, the idea and the starting of the partnership for opportunity zones, him and Tim Scott and other people came together and say, how do we bring more jobs, economic investment to these areas that people can really, you know, benefit the most from?
So you think that Donald Trump has done more for opportunity zones in the black community of this nation than Joe Biden and what he's done and Democrats?
Well, in my opinion, I would think he has a better position. But also your question was, why does he say that? I think every elected official always has a signature piece of legislation they feel or think has been impactful.
So let's go to school choice. That's not a signature piece of legislation from Donald Trump. And if you know the history of voucher schools and school choice, as you just mentioned, Annette Polly Williams and Larry Harwell, who created school choice, that was stolen away by former President George Bush Sr., school choice, and the reason it was created and was to give an equal, a better opportunity for poor black children in the city of Milwaukee to have a better shot at education. That was the purpose of school choice. And Annette Polly Williams and Larry Harwell, who created that, and then Governor Tommy Thompson,
the Republican,
who helped push it through. But right. Let's not fool people and lead people to believe that school choice is something that was created by Republicans and that it's a panacea for black children and that it's given these great opportunities for black children to get a quality education.
So my statement was this, Earl, is that his support of school choice and the continuing—
You said signature piece of—
His supporting school choice, also in D.C., that's a big thing. So you have other people in elected office who don't support school choice. He did. So that's a big thing. Like you said, Annette was part of the Polly Williams, part of the creation, signed by Governor Tommy Thompson, who also thought it was a good idea. That idea was a great idea. So every idea don't have to come from one side or the other. They can come from both sides. And Tommy was smart enough to recognize this is a good thing. Gary George was there. He was also the senator who pushed it through on the Senate side, Democrat. But nonetheless, what I'm saying to you again, those are some of the things that I think There's a few more, but those are some of the things that first come to my mind of why, you know, his presidency and why he may feel he's been very impactful in the black community.
But I want to push back on this thought and this belief that school choice somehow has been a panacea for black children. Let me diffuse that. Number one, what it's done is taken away resources from the public school system, where the majority of the black students go to school. And it's school vouchers and school choice is not about black children anymore. It's across the entire state. It's across the entire nation. It also now offers the opportunity for people who can afford to send their kids to private schools are now being financed and supported by the taxpayers under the guise of school choice. So let's stop misleading people into believing that this is something the Republicans have done to improve the lives of black children. It's not. It's bigger than that. If black people only make up 12% of the population of the entire nation and school vouchers are for the entire nation, then black people are a small percentage of the amount of money that is being spent on school choice and vouchers.
So vouchers still have, the school choice program still has a income guideline. So that idea that rich people can get in and not have to pay tuition, that doesn't fit the program model. Also, if the program model works for poor black kids, it can work for poor whites as well, too. It's a great concept. And that's something we should celebrate, Earl. And so I think we're on the same page. But again, let's be clear. Let's just be clear. It's a good thing. And to take a model and try to expand it to other, other populations, the Native Americans, the Spanish Americans. So to bring that idea to the concept, to the floor, it's a good idea. So I'm glad it's being used in other aspects.
It's not a good idea because if you look at the sheer numbers and the impact of what it's done to the public school system, where the majority of the students are, it's not a good thing. The other part of it is, those voucher schools get to pick and choose what they do. That's a fact.
If students,
that's 100% accurate, because they can release students if they and the parents don't live up to their standards. The public school system by law can't do any of that.
So funding for choice is not through the same funding pot for public schools. I think that's a misconception. These funds are not that.
Are you telling me that none of the funds for school choice come from the taxpayers?
All of the funds come from school choice primarily. But when you look at education funding, and these are two different pots of money through the taxpayers. So they'll say it took away from public schools. It didn't take. This is another pool of money that we tap into.
It absolutely has, because it's tax dollars.
That is true. From
the taxpayers.
You're correct there.
And now they're supporting two different districts.
Which is great.
When as before they supported one. Well, I'll let them answer that. 844-967-2789 is the number. I'm joined by Mr. Orlando Owens. He's the Southeast Wisconsin Regional Director of the Joseph Project. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789 on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Shaw WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to retired Rear Admiral Joe Seestack about Project 2025's impact on the U.S. military and the state of education in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Wisconsin's fall primary election is Tuesday, August 13th, with constitutional ballot questions, a U.S. Senate race, contested congressional primaries, and new legislative maps. This fall, Wisconsin decides.
Be a voter? Then tune to your local civic media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
I'm News Director Terry Bell. When the polls close at 8, our news team will bring you results from all over Wisconsin.
Election coverage live, Tuesday, August 13th at 8.
On your local civic media radio station and streaming on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.